Hi guys, welcome back to the Be Vulnerable podcast. This is Kristen. I just wanted to apologize because, again, like I mentioned in my past couple of episodes, I've just been slacking on making episodes and really putting content out there. I've just had a lot going on personally with just us moving and packing up the boxes and stuff, as well as me just trying to adjust to my new job and my new schedule. As some of you know, nurses work 12-hour shifts, sometimes like 13 hours, so it's really just been a difficult time. I am like so blessed to have my job, but it's definitely a huge learning curve going from being a nursing student to being a nurse. And I really was not liking my job for the first couple of months, and I had to switch to a different unit. And I felt so much doubt about where I was supposed to be, about if I was even supposed to be a nurse. And so it's been a really tough time. But now that I switched to a different unit, I'm feeling a lot more better about where I'm at and really just liking my job as a nurse a lot more. I think sometimes we go into nursing and we think that it's such luxurious job, but in reality, you're really busting your butt like every day, trying to do the best that you can for your patients and your short staff, and there's a lot going on. Like, it really is a calling, and it's not just something that we can do to just make money. And I'm guilty sometimes of that mindset of just like wanting a stable career, but nursing is a calling, and it's about being a servant and being there for other people. So I feel like I'm getting more and more into the groove of how to be a nurse, but I still feel like there's so much more to learn. But yeah, so that's kind of been like what's been going on in my life, and I just want to apologize again, and I'm really going to do my best to try to just put more content out there, because it makes me happy when I find out that it's blessing my family and friends, but myself, I feel like I also need this. Like, it makes me feel so good to be able to reflect on my life experiences and be able to give you guys something to learn from the things that I've learned from. So yeah. But today, I wanted to introduce my brother, Chris. We're going to try really hard to be serious here, but me and Chris can never be serious together. So my brother, I believe in last July, am I right?
Yeah, June or July.
He converted to Orthodox Christianity after being a Protestant his whole life. So I really wanted to get him on here to talk about his experiences and like what led him into converting into Orthodoxy. How does he feel about Protestantism now? What does he wish the church would realize as a whole? I just wanted to get him on here and just ask him a bunch of questions and see where he's at. So Chris, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi everyone. First and foremost, thank you, Kristen, for having me be able to speak. Really appreciate it. Before I say anything, first and foremost, glory to God. Without God, the Holy Trinity, we would have nothing in life. We are powerless without Christ. So I thank God, and I thank God for giving me the opportunity to learn more and more every day. And I thank God just for the ability to speak today. So yeah, I'm 20 years old. I'm a junior in college. I am studying biology. And the main goal for me with studying biology is that I can eventually become a doctor so that I can go out and spread the gospel in foreign countries and provide care to people that are very poor, that don't have opportunities to health care. So yeah, that's pretty much a little bit about me. And yeah, as Kristen said, I am in my journey of converting. So I'm I am called something called a catechumen, which is pretty much is just in the early church. A lot of pagans existed, and so in order to have people convert, you couldn't just come right into the church. You had to, you know, go through catechism. So right now I'm pretty much going through my catechism, and God willing, I will be received into the church Lazarus Saturday, which is in about like 5-6 months. So yeah, thank you.
Okay, Chris, thank you Thank you for telling us a bit about yourself. He's like side-eyeing me. Yes, you were. All right, so Chris, what do you feel like inspired you to become an Orthodox Christian? Or like, what was your initial interest in it? I would just like to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, sure. I could talk about this for a while, to be honest. So like Kristen started out saying, we were raised in a Protestant home, and being a Protestant, especially like low church. And when I say low church, I don't mean to be disrespectful or anything. Low church is a term people use for in the way people worship. High church would refer to as liturgical services, and low church would be the opposite. So like non-denominational, Pentecostal, Baptist, people like Christians like that are referred to oftentimes and as a whole as low church, which is just saying that you use more guitars, you don't really do chants, less liturgical practices. So coming from like a non-denominational Pentecostal evangelical background, I didn't really have a relationship with God growing up. There was a lot of stuff that our family went through, and it caused me to not want to follow God. It caused me to have a lot of doubts, and so once I started following God again, I started going back to a Protestant church that my sister was going to, a non-denominational church, and I got saved there. I should say I encountered God there. I learned a lot about Him. I grew more and more every single day with the Lord, and eventually one day, I just started listening to a podcast on church history, because as Protestants, specifically like non-denominational Protestants, the church history you learn, and I think most people would agree with this, is you read the Book of Acts. You skip 1500 years and go to the Protestant Reformation with Martin Luther, Zwingli, Calvin, all those people. So one day, as I was trying to exercise, I just started listening to an Anglican podcast, which is also Protestant. Anglican is like the Church of England. It started from King Henry, and they're more considered, before Catholics, they're considered like the highest liturgical, like Protestant church. So they do like a lot of chants. I believe they make the sign of the cross. I think they burn incense. They believe in the saints. They do certain things like that. So through this podcast, I started learning about the early church after the Book of Acts, because oftentimes it was always just been told that the Protestant Reformation happened from the Roman Catholic Church, and it happened because the church was going under problems and was straying away from the truth, is what we were always told. So I just really wanted to learn more and more of the church that the apostles built after Christ ascended into heaven. So it all started with that podcast, and I learned more and more about the body and blood of Christ, and how the early church, this was a big part for me, how for 1500 years, all the saints, specifically like the Saint John the theologian, who was the writer of the Holy Gospel of John, the Epistles of John, him, Saint Peter, all of these original apostles, they all had disciples. They were teachers too, and so I really started to learn a lot about what their students were saying afterwards. So you have like Saint Clement of Rome, Saint Ignatius of Antioch, Saint Justin Martyr, all these people coming around in the first, second century who directly knew Saint John the Theologian, Saint Paul, Saint Peter, all these, even Saint James, certain saints, apostles like this. And interestingly enough, even Saint, I forget what chat, what book in the Bible, but it mentions Saint Clement of Rome. So as I studied more and more about church history, I realized for the first 1500 years of the church, everybody always believed that when you take communion, that it was purely the body, the true body and blood of Christ. And, coming from my background, it was always seen as this is purely symbolic. This is not his body and blood. This is just grape juice and a wafer, and this we do this in remembrance of him. So for me, that was one of the first things that really caught my attention was, my whole life I've been taught one thing, and but for 1500 years, all these saints were teaching something different. And for me, the more important thing was that the saints that I mentioned, they were in direct relationship with the people that knew Christ. So, that started it off, and then I learned more and more about church history. I also I started having issues when I was worshiping at the non-denominational church. I felt like it was too loud at times, and I couldn't really concentrate. And so I started praying more and more that the Lord would show me the truth. I started fasting more, and eventually I from the Anglican podcast, I learned about Orthodoxy. I attended a service at a Oriental Orthodox Church, so I'm part of the Eastern Orthodox Church. That's a whole different topic, but they used to be one church, but then they split after the 5th century, which was there was a council called the Council of Chalcedon, and where they disputed over something that has to do with Christ. And so yeah, I attended an Oriental service, but the service I attended was in three different languages, so I was very afraid. And originally I wanted nothing to do with it, but I continued to pray. And we attended the Greek festival that the local Greek Orthodox Church does. And I spoke with the priests, and I started attending their Bible studies. And the more and more I prayed, I asked the Lord to shut the door. If this was meant for me, that he would just, if it wasn't meant for me, that he would close the door so that I wouldn't be distracted. But if it was meant for me, he would open the door and allow me to gracefully enter the church. And yeah, so that started the journey. Is there anything else that I forgot to mention?
No, I think that you did a good job of answering that. I definitely feel like I can speak from my side. There's a lot of like miscommunications and like misinformation in general about Orthodox churches, Catholic churches. Like as a Protestant, like I can recognize that like at times like they're not viewed as true Christians on our end, which I do think is definitely wrong. And I've heard that at times it can also somehow be like that in the Orthodox Church, which I think is wrong on both ends. But yeah, I feel like as I've learned more and more about the Orthodox Church from what Chris has told me, I'm a lot more happier with him being there and understanding that this is a church that is led by God and is led by the Holy Spirit, and that we should not keep God in a box. And with that, Chris, what's up, Chris?
Yeah, hi. Sorry, I forgot to say a few things. One of the major things too, I also that drew me to it was fasting. So, in the Sermon on the Mount, all throughout the Holy Gospels, Christ instills us about fasting. And I felt that most of the time in my tradition, I was always taught, just fast a day or two, or maybe when the new year starts, you fast. But I never really understood fasting. And in the Orthodox Church, we have four distinct fasting periods. Right now, we're actually in one of them called the Nativity Fast. And it's preparing us to be ready for the Nativity of Christ. So fasting helped me. Fasting was another thing that really made me intrigued about it, because it just made sense because Christ talked about fasting so much. So for me, I felt that, there's a lot of truth here, and I wanted to explore it more. Also, another thing too that I forgot to mention was another thing I also forgot to mention was growing up, I was always told like, oh, are you Christian or are you Catholic? And that's coming from obviously from Protestants, from the Protestant side that I was growing up in. And I just want to say first and foremost, like, I have the utmost respect for any side that's a true Christian. I'm not trying to be rude, but I have a lot of respect for Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, but they don't have the core tenets of our faith. I'm sorry if that might offend you guys, but right now when I'm talking about Christians, I'm talking about true disciples of Christ, true disciples that haven't changed the doctrine of Christ. For instance, in Mormonism, you know, they talk about Lucifer being Christ's blood brother, and clearly that's heretical because Lucifer was a created being, and we all know that Christ was not a created being, and Jehovah's Witnesses don't even say that Christ is God. So I love them, you know, I pray for them, but when I say Christians, I mean the three core, I guess you could say sects, so Orthodox Christianity, which would be Eastern Orthodox and Oriental, Catholicism, which has 24 different rites, and then the umbrella that is Protestantism that has many different churches. For me, it's never the question if someone is wrong with the way they worship. That's not between me and them, that's between them and God. Anyone can choose the way they want to worship. If they feel comfortable, if they're truly praying and they're truly meditating on the Lord, on the word, like it says in Joshua 1, meditating on the book of the law day and night. If you are truly doing that and you have peace and you're feeling good and you feel that this is where the Holy Spirit is calling you, good. All props to you. Do what you need to do to have a true intimacy with the Lord. For
Amen.
me, the intimacy that I was able to cultivate with the Lord came from the Orthodox Church. The Orthodox Church helped me grow closer to the Lord. And yeah, sorry, I just wanted to make sure I say a few more of those things before we get into the next topic. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I think you said a lot of good things. A lot of good things. So just to follow up with that, I wanted to ask, like, what do you think are some things that the Orthodox Church can work on? Obviously, like, no church is perfect. And obviously, since you converted there, then you think that there's a lot of amazing things about it, which I agree. But like, what do you think are some things that Orthodox Christians can be better at? Because I know that as Protestants, and I think you converting to Orthodoxy has definitely opened up my eyes to the fact that Protestants need to have more of a reverence for church history and more of like there's a like we should be understanding church history. Like, we should not have a limited knowledge of the Bible. Like, we should be able to understand it. I mean, that's not true because we don't always understand the Bible, but we should be doing our research and trying to understand things and looking at the contexts of things and not just reading the Bible and seeing how does this apply to me. I think it should be more of like, okay, like what did this mean then? You know, and then how can we translate this to today and into our day-to-day lives? So I think it's important for us to recognize, you know, the flaws that our own churches have. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, sure. So I'm gonna dissect this into two things. I'm gonna talk about the flaws and then the things I love about it. We'll start off with the flaws. So definitely, first and foremost, you know, glory to God because my so when I'm gonna start using the word parish because for us in the Orthodox Church, we typically refer to the church as a parish. Like each individual church is a parish. So glory to God, my parish actually does not struggle that much with this, but this is an issue that a lot of Orthodox churches do struggle with, and the fact that a lot of Orthodox churches are intertwined in culture. So, for instance,
That's
I
true.
attend a Greek Orthodox parish, and we have a new priest here who's been serving for about 2 years, and he's really brought in the church. Like, Christ has really worked through him and has allowed the church to become more alive. But definitely in other churches that I've heard across the country, there's definitely problems where people are Orthodox, they're Christians because they're Greek or because they're Russian, and they
Yeah.
have like a nationalistic identity intertwined, and that can also hurt when you have converts because it's like, so for my church, we do service half Greek, half English. That doesn't bother me at all because whenever they do Greek, I just pray and I just focus on the Lord. We'll get into something that has to do with prayer later on, but I say something called the Jesus Prayer whenever they do Greek, and I just meditate on the Lord. The Greek for me is beautiful because at times it feels like kind of like a heavenly or like angelic language because I don't understand it. And the Orthodox Church, it does a really good job of captivating like all five of your senses. That's something we like to say. So when you walk in, you smell the incense, you see the icons, which remind us of, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's either Hebrews 11 or Hebrews 12, where it says, so therefore we are surrounded with a great cloud of
It's 12.
witnesses. Hebrews 12, we yeah, because 11 is about everything with faith. Through faith, all
Yeah.
these prophets did these
It's
things.
impressive, though, that
What?
you remember that.
What'd you say?
I said it's impressive that you remember.
Yeah, well, remember I was Protestant, so and that's something we'll talk about in a sec too, what I mean by that. But yeah, the Orthodox Church, at times there are other parishes that I struggle with. They want to do the entire, we call our service liturgy, divine liturgy. They want to do the entire divine liturgy in their foreign language. And my priest will first and foremost tell you that no, that is incorrect. And Christ, in my opinion, I mean, I can't speak for Christ, but I can tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, be baptized of all nations, not just of the Greeks, not just of the Russians. So it's our job as Orthodox Christians, as the clergy, the priest, to make sure that the liturgy is done in the native tongue that people are speaking. Father Josiah Trenum, another priest that I read some of his books and listen to, he has a really good podcast called The Arena, if anybody ever wants to listen to it. He has really good quotes about it where he says, we are in America and the predominant language we speak is English right now. And we need to be speaking English. We are allowed to preserve some of the tradition from like our country. So like if I'm Greek Orthodox, they're allowed to preserve their Greek tradition. But it should never be that the sermon, which we call the homily, it should never be that the homily or that just the most of the service should be in Greek. It should be that the language we speak should be the language that the service is done in. So thankfully my parish doesn't struggle with that, but there is parishes that struggle with that. And just one more issue I would say is with Orthodoxy, we believe in the Bible and in tradition. Not just any tradition, but we call it divine tradition, tradition that was passed down from Christ to the apostles. And that's where we differ with Protestants. There's a few verses actually that I can tell you for why I believe in holy tradition. If you just give me one second to pull it up, we have. Sorry, one second, guys.
But yeah, so like we know as Protestants that we believe in sola scriptura, but they don't necessarily feel the exact same way that we do. So now he's gonna talk.
Yeah, so we believe that sola scriptura was a doctrine created by Martin Luther and the reformers. Sorry, I'm just telling you what we believe. If you believe that otherwise, perfectly fine. No hate, we're still brothers and sisters in Christ.
Unacceptable.
But one of the main verses, and I'll tell you another one after this. So in St. Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians, this specifically is 2 Thessalonians verse 15, there's a verse that says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Epistle is just a letter. So stand fast and hold tradition to the tradition which you were taught, whether through the word of mouth or that was written down. And then to combat that also, in the Holy Gospel of St. John the Theologian, it talks about how if John were to write down everything that Christ instilled him, there wouldn't be enough pages in a book. So for us, we hold to the fact that there was many different traditions that were passed down from Christ. And because of that, like for instance, some of the traditions could be like making the sign of the cross. Just a lot of different things, making the sign of the cross, looking, venerating icons, showing respect to saints, certain things. But what I was gonna say, the issue is because we don't follow sola scriptura, because we have holy tradition and holy scripture, which is the Bible. Sometimes there are people that are scripturally don't are not as literate. as Protestants. We read the Bible in every single liturgy, every single service, but sometimes I think people in the Orthodox Church spend some people spend more time praying or spend more time in service than reading the Bible, and that's not something our church teaches. My priest was saying yesterday, if you've never read the gospel, you should read it today. I have plenty of Bibles. We are not Christians that don't read the Bible. We read it. Some people that I would say are cradle might not read the Bible as intensely as Protestants. But for me, because I was Protestant, I've always held onto the core tenet of reading the scripture daily. And because of that, yeah, it's just helped me a lot. But in no way, shape, or form do we ever say not to read the Bible. My priest encourages everyone to read the Bible daily, and we have Bible studies every single week. So yeah, that was just the flaws. And should I talk about pros or?
Yeah, talk about it. Why not?
Some of my most favorite things about the Orthodox Church is, like I was saying before, how it literally captivates every single sense in your body. When you come in, we burn instant incense, and we burn incense to consecrate things. So when the priest, he'll pray over every single person, and so he like will sense the altar, he'll sense the people. So automatically your nose, your senses are being stimulated by the incense. You walk in, we have all these different pictures that are called icons, and they're of Christ and the different saints. Even the chanting, it captivates your ears. So I love how the church really captivates your senses. I love the church is prayer life. So for us, Divine Liturgy, our entire liturgy is based off of prayer and worship. We are constantly praying as a church. We are constantly holding to the tenet, to the core tenet that St. Paul teaches us. I think in 1 Thessalonians, I don't remember to be honest, but pray without ceasing. We have something called the Jesus Prayer, and which is, if you've never heard it, it's called, you say a simple prayer, and it goes as, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, the sinner. So we say this prayer a lot, and it really just sums up the entire gospel in one prayer, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God. At the same time, he has come to judge the living and the dead, and he can choose to have mercy on us, and he does choose to have mercy on us, thankfully, if we repent and, you know, all the great things that he allows us to do. So I love the prayer life of the church. I love how we have so many, and this goes into tradition, the sacred tradition of the church, including the saints. We have so many people that we can look back at, and we actually celebrate saints every single day, and how we look up to them as friends and as role models. And it's beautiful, in my opinion, because any time I'm struggling with something, maybe lust or anything, slothfulness, just being, you know, not just struggling anything, I can always go and find a specific person that struggled with it and had quotes on it. And for me, it's just so beautiful, because there's people that we can always look to all the time for really good, advice. Yeah, so yeah, there's more, but we'll get into it later.
Okay. Yeah. So I just wanted to also follow up and just ask, since you stated all the things that you love about the Orthodox Church and, like, what has drawn you to it, I wanted you to talk a bit about the Protestant Church and things that you love about it, because obviously, like, there's a reason that you converted, but at the same time, you know, you were a Protestant for growing up for 20 years, but at the same time, you were not necessarily always walking with God, but you know a lot about it. I know that there are certain things that you appreciate about it. So I just wanted to know, like, what are some of those things?
Yeah, I mean, there's not just with the Protestantism, but with every sect of Christianity, there's beautiful things about everything. And like I was saying before, I think You know, I think every church has beautiful aspects to it. Every church has pros and cons. There's no one perfect church, sadly, because, you know, we're sinners. Christ prayed before, and when he was in the garden, he prayed that we'd be unified, and clearly we're not, and it's sad, but that's because we're sinners. You know, all we can do is ever pray for schisms to end, for us to unify. But yeah, there's a few things in the Protestant church that I like and then dislike. So you want me to discuss both?
Yeah, you can talk about both.
So yeah, I guess we'll start off with pros, 'cause yeah, pros are good. For instance, like all the Christian, most Christian music is always coming from Protestants, and you know, I was always like raised as a Protestant, so to this day I'm still listening to like Elevation Worship and certain songs like that. I think that they have really good ways of creating music, and you know, putting God at the center, because I'm a big proponent of that. Everything we do, we need to have Christ at the center. Even with listening to music, you know, if you're not worshiping God, what are you doing? You know, if you're intaking something, how is that affecting you? Either it's helping you grow closer to the Lord, or it's taking you away. So I'm a very big proponent of everything we do in glorifying the Lord. On top of that, I really like how Protestants have immense knowledge of the Bible. And when I say immense knowledge, I mean specifically laity, like not people that are pastors. Because if you go to an Orthodox church, the priest will know the Bible. If you go to a Protestant church, the pastor will know the Bible. Specifically talking about your regular person that goes to church, they, in my opinion, are more likely to know the Bible better than other people. Like I said before, we definitely understand the Bible, the Orthodox Church. But I think the Protestants, because they don't have holy tradition, they really only have one thing to focus on, which is the Bible. So I would say I have great appreciation for the way that they read the Bible and have like great reverence for it. On top of that, I would say like, though, I mean, the Protestant church is where I encounter Christ, you know, the love they have for people. In certain churches, not all. But that's what every church, you know, there's good people and bad people in every church. The church is a hospital for sinners. It's not a place that perfect people go, because there is nobody that's perfect. But yeah, I think that orthodoxy at times can be very intense for people, and I think that Protestantism does a really good job of showing people Christ's love with being like less intense, in my opinion. Yeah, so overall, I have a lot of great things to say. I feel like also like a lot of Protestants, you know, they're just very like open about their faith, which is amazing. We should all be open about our faith, and we should always be talking about it. And they're honestly, they're sometimes they, you know, I feel like Protestants are more likely to approach people on the street and tell them about God, which is really good. Yeah. So, I guess flaws. Kristen like always gets mad at me whenever we talk about stuff like this. I mean, I'm always gonna be respectful. I think Protestants, they don't have any holy tradition, in my opinion. And I was talking about before how after the Book of Acts, the church history just goes right to the Reformation. And I don't agree with that, to be honest. I love my Protestant brothers and sisters, but Christ tells us in Saint Matthew, Holy Gospel, that the gates of hell won't prevail against the church, and the church was having issues, but I don't think that the whole church went into heresy. And I think that the church history should be taught more. I had never heard of Saint Ignatius of Antioch. I had never heard of Justin Martyr, Saint Clement of Rome, Saint Irenaeus, Saint Basil the Great, all these saints that have had such an effect on church history, such an effect on the Christian world that we know today, who really fought against heresy all throughout the history. I never knew who they were, and I had never heard about them. And even if Protestants don't believe in church history, which is perfectly fine if they don't want to.
We do believe in church history.
That's not what I mean. Like, if you guys don't believe in holy tradition, which you don't, I still think that it should be taught at certain times. Like, there are certain people that should be taught, in my opinion. And I think that you guys can still learn a lot from different saints. And there are certain Protestants that do have like respect, not just respect, but do like actually listen to certain saints and stuff. Like, I know certain Presbyterians, Anglicans, they will talk about like Saint Augustine in the West, like the Catholic Church, Saint Augustine. They'll talk about early church fathers. I think also something for me personally is, I think Orthodox Christians have more reverence for the actual like church building. Which this is where me and Kristen might differ a little bit, but I think that like the actual like building is, I mean, yes, the people make up the church, but I also think the church building itself is very important. And for me, like, I don't know, a lot of times I would go to church and there was like nothing on the walls, you know, you have like one cross. I feel a lot more like comfortable when we're surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses. And I guess another thing would be just certain times the worship. I felt like, I said this before, I felt like it was hard for me to focus a lot during worship because I feel like at times, I don't know, for me now as an Orthodox Christian, we our services are a lot quieter. So I feel like it's a lot easier for me to like focus, because I mean, I don't have ADHD, but I have focusing issues at times. And for me, it's a lot easier when it's quieter for me to focus on the Lord. You know, I think Protestants have really good worship. They definitely, you know, it can be very entertaining, but I think like for me at least, it can be too loud at times, and I for me it can be hard to focus on the Lord. Yeah, here.
Yeah, I think some of the things that you don't like about the Protestant Church, I can kind of understand. I definitely feel like at times, not the churches that I go to, but worship can sometimes be more about entertainment. When you think about the fog lights, and like we're talking about like more like mega churches here, not like the church I go to or anything. I love my church, but I definitely feel like at times, it can be more us-centered. As Protestants, we have to make sure that the music that we are worshiping to is really about God and not so much about us. So I definitely agree with you. With certain things, obviously, like the church building thing, I really don't really feel the same way because obviously as Protestants, you already know how we feel, like that we are the church, right? And that
Well, we do that too.
the church is like the church being a building is, like it's just a building to us, because the presence of God is everywhere. So that's, I guess, obviously that's how we feel.
Yeah, and we would agree with that statement that the presence of the Lord is everywhere, but we would also draw back to the Old Testament where the holies of the holies were found in like the tabernacle, and we would say, you know, there's certain places that just are, I guess, like we would say are consecrated, like we have specific churches that are, you know, are blessed. And that's not saying that God doesn't work wherever, because of course God works wherever. We would never try to say that, we would never try to put God in a box, because putting God in a box is just pure stupidity. God can work wherever he wants. But for me, we definitely, you know, I find too, even like, and I know this isn't important to Kristen, but for me it is important, because I find that we dress you know, some traditions say best to dress, you know, dress your best for Sunday. I was raised in a tradition where that wasn't the case. You know, I would be wearing sweatpants, jeans. I know, and I'm gonna be 100% honest, I know that in the eyes of the Lord that doesn't matter, because God just wants us to commune with him and worship. But I feel a lot more just a lot better of like putting on like nice clothes and coming to church and just like putting in more effort in my appearance for the Lord. Not that God cares about it, but in my eyes that matters. And I was gonna say one more thing that I forgot, and probably this is my number one thing about Protestantism, and I think most
About
Protestants,
prots.
no, I would never say that word, I think that a lot of Protestants.
Yes, he would.
I think a lot of Protestants can agree with this. Certain parts of Protestantism, and what I'm going to explain what I'm about to say, can be sad. Not Christianity, but when you say Protestantism, it's such a huge umbrella that for me, I think that it can be a little sad because you have, you know, so many different denominations that don't agree, but you guys are all still under one umbrella. So I think that it can be sad at times because when you hear Protestantism, sometimes you're like, oh, well, like for Lutherans, they're like, oh, that's the body and blood of Christ. But then for Baptists, that's not the body and blood. That's symbolic. I think that Protestantism has been so diversified, so like kind of just like split. They've split from each other a lot that it's hard to find like one stance. And that's something I like about the Orthodox Church is that we have like one stance on everything. You know, if for Protestantism, you go to a Baptist, you go to a Lutheran, you go to Anglican, you get three different answers. And that's not a bad thing. That's just not something I like because I want like one firm thing. And I think with Protestantism, there's so many diverse answers that it's hard to find like one clear statement at times, you know?
Yeah. And I think it just shows even more our humanness. Yeah. Right. And just that we can't agree on anything. And like, I mean, you even look at it like the three sects. We got Catholicism, we got Orthodox Christianity, and we got Protestants. Mm-hmm. It's very sad in general that the body of Christ is divided.
Yes.
You know?
Definitely.
And but I can see your point in that. But I also think it's kind of cool because it gives us like some sort of like autonomy and like obviously like not autonomy, I mean that's a bad word. Because some things are just not so clear cut. And I think that's why it's hard. Because some things in the Bible are not always black and white, right? Like certain things, even different theologians have different interpretations of, right? So, in certain ways, it makes sense that we could be divided on more trivial things. But I feel like in general, as long as we are united in the Holy Trinity, and the belief in the Holy Trinity, right? The belief that Jesus died and rose from the dead. That he was resurrected on the third day. Right? The fact that we are all here to glorify God. And that is our purpose in life. So, yeah, I agree that the disunity is sad. But it's not just us. It's every sect, you know? And we could also talk about the disunity between the Eastern Orthodox and the Oriental Orthodox as well.
That is true. But that's one split. You guys have like how many denominations?
No idea.
That's something you'll hear a lot from Catholics and Orthodox when they critique Protestants. That I think there's 30 something thousand denominations. Because within every denomination there's been a split. You know, I think there's like six or seven denominations of Lutherans alone in America. That's just in America, you know. So I think that oftentimes they can't agree really with each other. So, yeah.
Okay.
On to the next question.
On to the next. All right. So I just wanted to ask, how has being an Orthodox Christian affected your prayer life? Like, does it look any different? Is it still the same? We'll skip that one for now.
No, good one.
But I feel like you talked about the saints a bit already.
I didn't talk about the intercession part though.
Okay, so all right, first we'll just talk about, as you know, that
intercession and prayer go together.
And I'm speaking for Chris, sorry, but I believe that Orthodox, they believe that the saints have the ability to intercede for us right now.
Yeah, so let me talk.
So I'm gonna let him talk.
All right, so actually, this is going to go hand in hand for prayer.
And he whipped out his Bible for this.
Yeah, so because I don't ever want to quote something that I don't know what I'm talking about. I always want to give whatever source I'm going to give, I want to give it straight from the source, which is the Holy Word of God. So I'm going to quote three verses on intercession, and then I'm going to talk about intercession for myself. So intercession, for us, sometimes this is where us and Protestants differ. So for us, and I think Protestants would agree, there's only one mediator, which is Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. So we believe one mediator, but many intercessors. We believe that, like Kristen said, the saints can hear our prayers in heaven. And we believe this. I know it might sound very scandalous for some of you. We believe this because many times in the Bible, Jesus Christ says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of the living, not the dead. For us, that means that everyone that has died and gone to heaven is no longer dead, but alive in Christ. And for us, because they're alive, we believe they can hear our prayers. And so when we ask them to pray for us, it's like me asking Kristen to pray for me. So
I think it's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So oftentimes you'll hear some of us, especially the youth, they'll say, like, we see them as friends. So the way I would ask, like, a friend to pray for me, I'll ask a saint to pray for me. And there's so many different saints. And so for us, like, yeah, so I'm going to read a few verses to explain more why we believe what we believe. So, and Revelation 5:8, and I'm reading from New King James Version. This is the, like, official, like, I guess, Bible, you would say, that we read. But we read every, like, we have no issue with reading. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. We can't just read one, book. You know, we can read many interpretations of the Bible. We do hold to the fact that we read the Septuagint for the Old Testament, because we hold to the tradition that the Septuagint was what Jesus Christ read during his time. And we believe that it was just the most divinely inspired, and that was, you know, what God sent us. So Revelation 5:8 from New King James Version says, "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." So for us, we would say that these bowls that are full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, for us, that we would say that those bowls, those prayers from the saints, are our prayers that the saints are giving to the Lord. And I'm gonna quote two more things from the New Testament, but I'm gonna quote something from the Old Testament, a book called Tobit. So this is a book that Protestants don't read, but this is a book found in the Septuagint, and we believe that is divine scripture. So in the book of Tobit, there's an angel called the Archangel Raphael, which some of you might have heard of. He is not mentioned in, you know, the Old or New Testament, but he is mentioned in our Old Testament. So Tobit is pretty much there. It's actually a really good story, but the reason why I'm bringing it up is the Archangel Raphael comes down and tells, I think the main character's name is Tobias, tells Tobias that, "I have heard your prayers and the Lord has sent me to come down." And so for us, that we say, oh, okay, the angels and the saints hear our prayers. I'm going to read two more things now. So going to Revelation once again. Revelation 8:3-4. This is read as, sorry, I am having trouble opening the Bible right now.
What chapter is it?
Revelations 8:3-4.
Okay.
Can you help me?
Yeah.
Sorry, having technical difficulties. Thank you, Kristen. Okay. So, then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, and he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. So, this verse for us, we would just say that the saints are offering up our prayers to the Lord. And then the last thing that I would also say that many Orthodox would say, if I can open it, it is found in St. James' Epistle. I can't find it, but I can tell you it off the top of my head. So, St. James Epistle, James 5:16 tells us that the Lord hears the prayer of a righteous man. And we would say that who is more righteous than someone in heaven? And if the saints are in heaven and they're alive, they can pray for us and the Lord will hear their prayers. So that's why we would say this, that the saints can intercede for us. Now, on my own personal journey, at first I was raised, you know, I was raised Protestant. So at first that was like, oh, heck no. Like, these people are crazy. But the more and more I prayed about it, and there's a really good book I've been reading, and that called Becoming Orthodox from Father Peter Gilquist, who was actually a Protestant pastor for like 30-something years. The more I've read it and the more I've prayed, I've been becoming more and more comfortable with intercession and asking the saints to pray for me. And I mean, I know you guys might see it as heretical or idolatrous, but for me, based off of like what the scriptures I said and my own personal opinion, I find that the intercessions of the saints really help me. Now, obviously, all the glory is always to Jesus, to God. God is the one that is fulfilling the prayers, that is helping me, but I do believe that the saints are offering my prayers to Him. And a good, really good way for me to describe this is we call the Holy Virgin Mary, Christ's mom, we call her the Theotokos, which is a Greek word for Mother of God. When I asked the Theotokos to intercede and pray for me, I've struggled a lot in my life with lust, and through her praying and giving my prayers to the Lord, I feel like it has helped so much. And just having respect for the Theotokos, for Mary, has showed me that the role that God created for woman, and how woman, it's helped me so much with lust, viewing the Mother of our God, just how much respect that Christ had for her and how much respect we should have for her. And it's helped me so much with lust. And yeah. And one last thing, the Orthodox Church, this is also prayer related. The Orthodox Church, if you ever ask an Orthodox Christian how would you describe the Orthodox Church, they would say a church full of prayer. And it's because every service we do, we are constantly praying. We are constantly asking the Lord to have mercy on us, which comes from Psalms. Every morning we do morning and night prayers, and we use a prayer book, and then we also do our own intercessions. And so every morning we read Psalm 50, we do a bunch of different prayers. Some of the prayers we'll say is, Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Mortal, have mercy on us. And so it's always directed around like the Holy Trinity and how they're having mercy on us. And yeah, that's where the Jesus prayer comes in, where I said, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Once I became Orthodox, I say this prayer every single day, and I don't just say it once. We have something called like a chotki, which is like a Greek word, which translates to like a prayer rope. We have a prayer rope, and the prayer rope is a reminder for us to listen to what St. Paul instructs us, but pray without ceasing. Before I became Orthodox, I always felt like I was asking the Lord for things and never thanking Him or never asking for mercy. I always felt like I would treat Him like a genie. And since I've become an Orthodox Christian, my prayer life has just like skyrocketed. I feel like I've learned how to pray correctly. And I feel like really through prayer, it has brought me...
But is there really a correct way to pray? You know?
Well, yeah, because what I was saying is before I was praying, like asking, I was treating God like a genie. That's incorrect.
Yeah, that's definitely incorrect, but I do believe at the same time that God, like, hears our heart, but I am 100% in agreement with Chris that, like, whether you're Orthodox or you're Protestant, our prayer should not just always be us asking Him for things. It should also be us thanking Him for being alive, thanking Him for the roof over our heads, over the clothes on our backs. Yeah, so I completely agree with Chris, and I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good. No, yeah, I felt like I didn't really know how to pray correctly.
I think correctly is not the probably not the best word, but I know what you mean.
No, for me it is, because I'm going to say Something someone once told me was, we advance as a Christian, we become more scripturally literate. We start spending more time with the Lord. We do all these things, but yet we still pray the same way every single day. And I think that we can learn to pray, with more humbleness, with more grace, calling, just having more like humility in front of the Lord. And that's what I mean by when I say praying correctly. So yeah, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chris. So, and we just kind of, I mean, you kind of discussed how orthodoxy has affected your prayer life, but if you want to just give like a brief summary of like really just how, like what it looks like now, because I know like you use a prayer rope and stuff. I know some people might not be familiar with that.
So I constantly have my prayer rope on me at all times, and that might sound like a little superstitious or not or something, but for me it's not superstitious. It's just a reminder to always be praying without ceasing. I'm constantly praying. When I drive, I listen to music, but sometimes I try to use it. And then a lot of the times when I'm walking to class or even when I'm in class, I have my prayer rope on me. I always have it on me. I'm always praying. And I feel like it's helped me so much. It's honestly, I've struggled a lot with anxiety in my life, and the prayer rope has helped me so much with becoming less anxious and really just calming me down. And it's really just like reflecting and taking like a deep breath every single time. Like, this is how I would describe it. You just say, like, you like inhale, like, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, the sinner. And you just do that, and you just feel like in such a state of grace. It's helped me so much with my prayer life. And yeah, a daily prayer would, I mean, I struggle at times waking up and praying in the morning because I do, I definitely struggle with waking up at times. But it would just be, we say our morning prayers. Whenever we mention the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, we make the sign of the cross. A big thing too with prayer, our prayer life, is we do prostrations where we get on the floor and bow our heads all the way to the ground. And we prostrate. That has been such a just glorious gift from the Lord for me. It's helped me just get closer to the Lord. The full body worship is what we like to call it. Worshiping with our mouth, worshiping with our mouth is great, but when we can truly like just submit our entire body to the Lord and pray with our entire body, that's something that we find beautiful. And yeah, so yeah, I pray in the morning, try to pray throughout all day, pray before I eat, before I drive, nighttime, and yeah, and whenever I can, I always just try to keep my eyes on the Lord. Yeah.
Alrighty, so just to wrap up here, so what do you wish Protestants would know about the Orthodox Church? Like, what is it that you wish that we would know, would take more into consideration? Like I mentioned, like sometimes, and I know this is true because I definitely had this preconceived notion before you converted to Orthodoxy, that Orthodox and Catholics were not like true Christians, or that they were like, not that they're heretical, but just that they make everything about legalism and tradition. And so, and obviously I have such a better understanding now, and that we just have different ways of approaching Christianity, and that one, we should not be questioning people's salvation in general. Like, it's not up to us. We're never gonna know. So yeah, what do you wish Protestants would know about the Orthodox Church?
Yeah, that's a great question. First and foremost, I would tell all Protestants that we are not Mary worshippers. We do have a high level of respect for the Theotokos, and we do love Mary, and we would say that Mary is our mother, but we do not worship her. We worship only the Holy Trinity, only our Lord and Savior. I would also tell Protestants that not to listen to what you see about from like certain Orthodox people online. Listening to priests is really good, but we do have some. There's a term that Orthodox we like to use in the Orthodox Church called like ortho bros, and like all the priests I've spoken to have said like we do not condone these people, because these people are the type of people that barely come to the divine services. They call themselves Orthodox, but they're honestly just online trying to start trouble with Protestants and Catholics, and they just argue with people. And I would tell Protestants not to listen to people like this. Christ never tells us to argue with others, and we should really be loving each other. If you ask us what we believe, that's perfectly fine for us to tell you what we believe. If you ask us what we don't like about your church, that's perfectly fine. But we should never go out of our way to tell you why you're wrong, or because it's not our business to tell if someone's wrong or not. That's between them and the Lord. So I would tell Protestants, don't listen to what they might hear, like in Reddit or whatever.
Not the Reddit.
Yeah, because there's a lot of like toxic people at times on Reddit or Instagram. And I would just tell Protestants that, Eastern Orthodoxy is very foreign to Protestants. Before I became Orthodox, I didn't even know what Orthodoxy really was. I always thought it was just Catholics and Protestants, and I think most people in the West think that way. I would just encourage them to. So there's a story from Saint Philip the Apostle and Saint John the Theologian's Holy Gospel, where Nathaniel, Saint Nathaniel, one of the apostles, is like, nothing good can come from Nazareth, and he's being sarcastic, but Saint Philip just tells him, come and see. And I would say to any Protestant, if you ever want to learn about Orthodoxy, just come and see. We'll be so joyous, so happy to see someone come to our church. Definitely be ready to be like shocked, because it's night and day. It like my mom described it to me, that going to an Orthodox church is like worshiping 2,000 years ago, and going to a Protestant church is like worshiping modern day.
Yeah, I think I can agree with that, and we can agree that Protestantism is more modernized. But that doesn't mean it's necessarily wrong.
No, not at all. But I would just say that if you would like to come, be ready. But just, I would love to see anybody at the church. It's a beautiful experience, and yeah, I just would like Protestants to know that Orthodox Christians are Christians. We may seem foreign to you, but we truly do love the Lord with all our heart. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, just one last question before we get out of here, because we've been yapping for a bit. No, but honestly, Chris has so many amazing things to say, and he's very knowledgeable in general about church history, about Christianity, and he's really only been saved for like a year, so it's amazing. Like he outshines people that have been Christian saved like 20 years. Like he knows so much, so he has a lot to offer, and I'm happy that he's able to be here.
What did you say about 20 years?
I said that you know more
Oh.
than some people that have been saved for 20 years. Because he's super smart. So my last question, I feel like this is really important, and obviously we don't have the answers, right? But how do you think that we can stay in unity and being one church with different sects?
Okay, yeah, so that's definitely like an interesting, tough question. I think this doesn't just go just for sex, but I think this is for all human beings. How do you stay in community with people? How do you talk, stay in together? We have to talk. We have to have we have to have like interdenominational talks. We need to have people from every side talking and communing with each other. We need to understand that all of each other are Christians at the end of the day. Yeah, our brothers and sisters in Christ, even though they might not believe the exact same thing as us, they still are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to have a respect for each other. We just need to also be able and willing to listen. We need to be willing to, we don't have to believe what the other side says, but we need to be willing to hear them out. And that goes for both sides, because both sides can be very foreign to each other. And I would say that if we're able to talk more, we're able to have less hate in this world. If we're able to have less hate, we can come together more and more and work together. We can work together in commonalities that we have, like serving the community, serving homeless people, helping people that are less fortunate, helping the people that are oppressed. We definitely are different. I would never say we're the same. We're very different. But at the end of the day, both sides have true heart for the Lord, and we're both trying to seek God with all our hearts. And yeah, if we just continue to talk, if we have talks like this, if we are more likely to just read up on each other's churches and stuff, we are more likely to be less judging. And this is the last question, but I just want to say one thing real quick. For any of you that is listening today, and I've actually gotten this far because I've been yapping for a long time, just want to thank you. I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would have mercy on you, and that he would be with you every single step of the way. I pray that you would understand the true message of the gospel. I hope that all of you would understand that we could do nothing to have salvation. The only reason why we are able to be seen as righteous is because we are covered with the blood of Christ. It is a true gift, nothing that we deserve. Christ defeated Satan and defeated death and sin on the cross, and we look forward for the resurrection of the dead and the life to come. We look forward to Jesus coming back and ultimately just judging the living and the dead. We can't wait for Christ to come back, and I pray that if anybody's struggling with their faith, they would ask the Lord to show you the truth. And I pray that you guys all stay safe out here, and that you would just continue to confess your faith, to continue to be bold. I pray a blessing over all of you. I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one true God. Amen.
Amen. Chris, thank you so much for being here, even though we live in the same house. But yeah, like I said, Chris has a lot of amazing things to say. That's why I wanted to get him on here. And I think it's really good, like Chris said, that we have these sort of conversations to sort of bridge the gap of misunderstanding between different sects and between each other as Christians. So yeah, I think it's amazing that he agreed to come on here. And I feel like he's a lot of valuable information to say. Whether me and Chris believe the same things or not, we are both brothers and sisters in Christ and actual blood siblings. So yeah, I hope that you got something out of this, and I'm sure you definitely did. And just allowing all of us as the body of Christ to have a more open mind, to be more considerate of other people, and to be united, and to remember the reason that we are all here, which is to glorify God, which is to tell others about Jesus, which is to be unified in that, in the Great Commission.
Yes, to serve the Lord every single day, to baptize all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to teach them to just live out the message that Christ instilled in all of us.
Amen. So, I believe that's it for today. Just want to encourage you all to get out there and be vulnerable, be honest with people, be real, be transparent, have hard conversations.
Visit your local Orthodox church and try to learn something new every day.
Yes. Or a Protestant church.
Just go to church.
Yes, preferably period.
Orthodox, but just become a Christian, put your faith in Christ, live out your days every single day, striving to be more and more like Christ every single day, have a solid prayer life, have period. Solid intimacy with the Lord, and put period. Your faith in trust in Jesus Christ, and you will not go wrong with doing that.
Period. He's gonna kill me.
Go to church, everyone.
Alrighty, y'all. I'll see you whenever I film another episode, hopefully soon, because I don't want to be a slacker, which I've been for a long time. But yeah, I love doing this. I love you guys. I hope you all have a blessed week, and God bless you, and the Lord be with you, and Lord keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God goodbye. Bless you all.
Bye.